Father, we thank you so much for this Sabbath day, for the blessings we have received. And now, Father, we ask for the blessings of the Holy Spirit once more. We pray that the Holy Spirit that led these men of old to write the Scriptures will lead us to understand. Bless us now as we speak on the subject, the cosmic conflict. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. The end of time. The world seems to be crumbling before our very eyes. It seems at times that hell itself has been let loose. Yes, friends, the war is real. Good and evil wage war for planet Earth. My question today is, whose side are we on? Financially, the church has had problems. Spiritually, the church has been shaken. Physically, we are losing members by the thousands. Yes, it looks as if the church is about to fall. Will it? Criticizers have criticized our church on every doctrine, it seems like. We've got people coming out with literature about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. There's been articles written in Time Magazine, Newsweek, and other magazines criticizing God's people, the remnant church of Revelation. One article came out, Heresies Exposed. A man gave this to me in the state of Iowa, trying to prove the Adventist church being wrong, being a false church. And it's interesting, the article goes into detail, claiming to be from Seventh-day Adventist doctors. One doctor in particular was a Seventh-day Adventist at one time, but was no longer when he wrote these articles, but they claimed he was a Seventh-day Adventist, and he claimed that Ellen White was a crazy woman, and that's why she had those visions and things, trying to prove the Adventist church wrong. Time Magazine had an article, you remember reading about it, Critic Ford talks about the Seventh-day Adventist church. You know, we talked about this last night as we spoke on the Jesuit, how many have been set up to destroy God's remnant church. And I'll tell you, friends, it looks sometimes as if the church is going to fall. It looks as if everything is crumbling before our very eyes. As I said, financially and spiritually and physically, the church has had problems. But I found a little article, a paragraph written back in the 1800s, a paragraph that really brings home what has taken place today. I'd like to share it with you. It's found in the volume 9 of the Testimonies, page 62. It says, everything that can be shaken will be shaken. Then it says in second volume of the Selected Messages, 380, the church may appear as about to fall, but it does not. It remains while the sinners in Zion will be sifted out. Praise the Lord. The church is going through. Amen? It's going through. Here's another one. But although she must meet heresies and persecutions, although she must battle with the infidel and the apostate, yet by the help of God she is bruising the head of Satan. Volume 4, 594. Brothers and sisters, we are bruising the head of Satan. We are on the Lord's side, amen? And the church is going through. Satan's agencies, as it goes on here, says, Satan's agencies in human form are on the ground. Men have confederated to oppose the Lord of hosts. Satanic agencies are in every city, busily organizing into parties those opposed to the law of God. Professed saints and avowed unbelievers take their stand with these parties. This is no time for the people of God to be weaklings. Volume 8, page 42. I want you to notice what it says. It says, professed saints and avowed unbelievers take their stand with these false parties. Professed saints? That means that some Seventh-day Adventists, will take their stand on the side of the devil. Maybe while they're still in the church and will work against God's people. It's going to happen. It is happening in these last days. But I'm happy to say today that the church will not fall, but it's going through. It's going through to the coming of Jesus. My question is, will you be among those that endure unto the end? Will we make it? Today we're going to learn who will go through and who will be victorious. I'd like for you to take your Bibles. I've put down 10, 12 Bible texts that I'd like to study today. Bible text that deals with God's people in these last days. So take your Bibles. First text I'd like to turn to is in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. And notice what it says about God's people. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 4. Ephesians 4, verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, as it says here, in one hope of your calling. Verse 5, one Lord, one what? Faith, and one baptism. God, no place in His Word, says there are many different explanations of the Bible. He never says there are many, many different faiths. God says one Lord, one faith, one baptism. God has a people, praise the Lord. The word faith means a set of principles or beliefs believed in and followed. So God does have a people. He has a people in these last days who are following Him. Look at Revelation chapter 12. A familiar text to most of us. Revelation chapter 12. And look at verse 17. Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Here the Bible says that the dragon, who is the dragon? Verse 9 says Satan, the devil. The devil is angry with the woman, the church, went to make war with the remnant of her seed, the last of God's people. And what I like about the word remnant is how God uses this word remnant. Because you ladies, if you go to the cloth store to buy some material to make a dress, and if you purchase some remnants, you buy what's left over. But if it's on a bolt of material for it to be the last, it had to be put on first. And so it's God's truth, God's message, since the very beginning with Adam and Eve all the way down to the end. I've heard people say, well, our church started back in 17-something. I hear others say our church started back in the 1500s. And then you've got even the Catholic Church which says our church started at the day of Peter. Well, brothers and sisters, Seventh-day Adventists started at the Garden of Eden, praise the Lord. At the very beginning. The very beginning. Because in God's Word we find the Sabbath right there in the Garden of Eden. We hear in the second coming of Jesus spoken of in the Garden of Eden. The messages of the last days are found in the very beginning, friends. The truth is the same. Go with me to Isaiah chapter 43. We're going to check out some text today that deals with God's people. Isaiah chapter 43. Because as this battle goes on, the cosmic conflict, we need to know whose side we are on. Isaiah 43, and look at verse 10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Now, who uses this text more than Seventh-day Adventists? Jehovah's Witnesses. That's right. Do you think they will mind if we borrow it today? You are my witnesses, saith the Lord. Yes, I am a Jehovah's Witness, praise the Lord. I believe in witnessing for my Lord. And my servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. The Bible says that God's people will be a witnessing people. A people that will share the good news of salvation to all they come in contact with. A Seventh-day Adventist. Now remember the quote I read a few minutes ago. Professed saints and unbelievers will come together to oppose the truth of God's Word. Professed saints. What are professed saints? Those people that claim to be God's children who are really not. They may have their name on a church book, call themselves Seventh-day Adventists, but they are not. Because they are not following a thus saith the Lord. Brothers and sisters, God's people and the Seventh-day Adventists who are His true people will be a witnessing people. Amen? We will share the good news of salvation. Look at Ephesians over in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8. For you were sometimes darkness, But now are you light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Each one of us here today have at one time been in darkness. And God says, now you are the children of light. Come out of the darkness. Walk in the light. So a Seventh-day Adventist who is a true believer, who is a true follower of God, will be continuing in the light of God's Word. Amen? And I don't know of any one Seventh-day Adventist that has all the light. Now, I'm not the type that believes that when new light comes, we follow everything we see and we say, hey, this is new light, let's follow it. Because the spirit of prophecy makes it very clear that the Lord will not give just one person new light without giving it to others. And that's what He does. The brethren work together in their study of the Scriptures. You may be a layman, you may be a minister, as you search the Scriptures and find truth, but God leads different minds so they come together and they put it all together and praise the Lord for the truth. Praise the Lord for the truth. But we were sometimes in darkness, now are you children of light? Over in the book of John, chapter 8, 31-32, Jesus was speaking to some Jews. He said, if you will walk in the Word, walk in the light, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Set you free. He said, you will be my disciples if you walk in my Word. And the same way today with Seventh-day Adventists, if we will continue in the light of God's Word, walking in the light, we shall know the truth, and the truth shall set us what? Free. How many want to be free today? I tell you, I do. I want to be free. And we can be by walking in the light of God's Word. Hebrews 8, verse 10 says that God will make a new covenant with His people. It's really not a new covenant. Same old covenant in the Old Testament, but it's new in the sense that God is going to write it in the hearts and minds. God's people will be a commandment-keeping people. How? We brought out this morning, we cannot keep God's law. There's no way. Can you keep the law of God in your power? You try it and you watch what will happen. You will fall flat on your face every day. It's kind of like the literature work. When I was a literature evangelist, I would have a great big sale one week and I said, boy, I'm really doing good. Next Monday morning, I would go out and say, I'm going to really sell some books today. And all week I'd go without selling one penny worth of books. So I realized, hey, it's not me, it's the Lord that does the selling of the books. The same way with the keeping the commandments. It's not me because I cannot keep the commandments, but it's God putting a law in the heart and in the mind, and God through us giving and keeping the commandments. Amen? The power of the cross. In Isaiah 8, another chapter that you've heard many, many times. Isaiah 8 and verses 20 and verse 16. The law unto the testimony, if they speak not according to this, it's because there's no truth in them. They don't follow the Ten Commandments. They don't preach the Ten Commandments. You know, you've got ministers on TV today and on the radio who are preaching, claiming to be the men of God for the last days. Preaching all kinds of things. And some of them look pretty good. And even Seventh-day Adventists are sending their money to these people on TV. I know of Seventh-day Adventists who finance Jimmy Swaggart, who finance others, because they hear them one Sunday and they sound so good and they sound so dedicated. Let's finance them. Let's help them. And brothers and sisters, let's be careful. God has a truth and God has a message, and it's in His Word. I thank the Lord that we do not have to go looking for falsehood. Ellen White says if we'll study the Bible and study the truth, we'll know what falsehood is. Amen? We don't have to go looking for it. Praise God for His Word and for His truth. But the reason I brought up these Sunday preachers on TV is because the Bible tells us how we can tell if they are really from God or not. Isaiah 8, at verse 16 and verse 20. When I hear a minister, and if I listen to a minister and I question, is this guy really from the Lord? Is he preaching the truth? I check him out. I call him or either write him a letter asking, do you believe in the testimony? That means in the whole Bible, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And most of them will say, yes, we believe in the whole Bible. My next question is, you believe in the shed blood of Jesus Christ? Most of them say, oh yes, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And my next question is, do you believe in all 10 of the commandments? According to Isaiah 8. All 10. Oh yes, we believe in it. We believe in those 10 commandments. Do you believe in the fourth one? The Sabbath commandment. And most of them will say, no, I don't feel that that commandment's really that important. So, you've got this man and that man who believes this and believes that. And we check them out by the Word of God. Are they really from the Lord or not? And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, if they are not preaching the 10 commandments, all 10 of them, beware, beware. Because the Antichrist is working in these last days through different preachers and different ones to deceive any way he can. Any way he can. Thank the Lord for His Word. Look at Titus, the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. The book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. Again, it is speaking about God's people. Titus 2 verse 14. Says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself what kind of people?
A peculiar
people, zealous of good works. It is saying that God's people will be different from the people of the world in many ways. It is saying that God's people will be a people who are zealous of good works. We'll be out proclaiming the truth. We'll be out witnessing, sharing the gospel. Do you know why Seventh-day Adventists are not preaching the gospel? Now, I know some of you could tell me a lot of reasons why. But one of the reasons why people are not proclaiming it, one of the reasons why we are not being a witness like we should be, is because we have not received it fully into our own hearts. If we truly believe it, and you think you have found some jewels, you cannot keep silent. No way. You've got to share it. Try studying the Bible and finding some beautiful jewels. You'll be telling someone. And the more we study, the more we will witness. Over in Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11 verse 4. Which I commanded your fathers in the day that I brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, from the iron furnace, saying, obey my voice and do them according to all which I command you, so shall you be my people and I will be your God. I did a study some time ago, went through the Bible from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And every time I came across a verse in the Bible that spoke of God's people, I colored it in blue. And then after I finished my study, I decided I'd go back and read all those verses in blue. And to my amazement, every Bible text that speaks about God's people, it speaks of a people who would obey the Lord and love the Lord with all their hearts. They would be obedient people. A people who believed in keeping all of God's commandments by His grace and His power. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, over in the New Testament again. Did you forget your Bibles? 1 Peter chapter 2, I hear a few pages. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Please, do not forget your Bible tonight. Paper, pencil. You are going to need it, because if you do not bring pencil and paper, after the meeting's over, you're going to come up to me and you'll say, John, what was that text? You know? And I'm not going to give it to you because the message tonight is too long. You better write it down and bring your paper and pencil at the meeting. 1 Peter 2 verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Here it is again. A peculiar people, a different people. And that you should show forth the praises of who? Of God, who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I tell you, I praise the Lord today for His goodness to us. Salvation is so real and so beautiful in what God wants to do for us. So give praises to Him. Revelation 18:4, God says that we are to come out of her, my people. That we receive not of her plagues, out of Babylon.
Did you know that there is a Bible text that says that Zion dwells with Babylon? That means that some of God's people still have Babylon in the heart, but they call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. Some of God's people are still following paganism and the papacy, and they call themselves Seventh-day Adventists. It's time we come out of Babylon. Amen? That we come out of Babylon today. Over in Revelation 14:12, the Lord says, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus." God does have a people in these last days. In Revelation chapter 12, we read the story of God's people going into the wilderness. You know the story. Here again is a chapter that has a double application. You know, we spoke of that this morning, how some chapters, some verses have double applications. Here is a case in chapter 12 of a double application. First of all, it's talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. But then it's also talking about the church. As you read on, it talks about the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. The 1,260 years of Bible prophecy where God's people were persecuted. The woman had to go into the wilderness. The woman represents the church, Jeremiah 6:2. They did not have a building. They did not have a sanctuary. But God had a people in the wilderness. The Waldenses, millions of them perished because of their faith in God's Word, died because they believed in the Bible. But then you come to the end of the 1260 years down in verse 12, 13, and 14. So that means it happened around 1798. And after 17, or around 1798, something else took place. Look at verse 15. It says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, after the church, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." The false doctrines came in trying to destroy God's people. But then verse 16 says, "And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth." Now when the Bible speaks about water or seas, remember the four beasts came up out of the sea? Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, Rome. The sea represents what? Seventh-day Adventists know all about it. Revelation 17:15. The waters represents nations, tongues, and peoples. So those four kingdoms came up, and a lot of people, among a lot of people. But here in Revelation 12:16, it says, "And the earth helped the woman." The earth is just the opposite of the sea. Which means that some place uninhabited helped the woman, helped the church. And it had to have happened right around the last part of the 1700s, because that's when the woman came out of the wilderness. You know the story. The United States of America, the people had to flee for their lives. They fled to this country for freedom of religion. Thank God for this country that we have. Amen? Thank God for this country. But as you read Revelation, we find that this country in Revelation 13 is going to do the same thing that Rome has done. Persecute. And we're going to have to flee again. God's people will. But this time, brothers and sisters, we cannot flee to another country. Because most of the lands of this earth are inhabited. But you know, we're going to flee. This time, we're going upward. Praise the Lord. We're going to flee, no doubt about it. But we're going up. We're going up. This time we're going to be delivered, and God's going to take us to the heavenly kingdom. God's remnant people, the last people, those who are continuing the Reformation, will be proclaiming the last message to the world, Revelation 14, 6 through 12. God has a people, a church. Let me ask you something. What makes a church anyway? People, not the building. A people. People of God. I have people who attend my meetings, and oftentimes they say, I want to be baptized. I want to be put under that water, wash away my sins, and give my life to Christ, but I don't want to join the church. You've probably heard that before. And I've heard a lot of ministers say, well, you can't be baptized then. Sorry, it's not for you. And they go out the door and never more to return. They go look for some minister that will immerse them. Brothers and sisters, when somebody tells me, they say, hey, listen, I want to be baptized, but I don't want to join the church. I say, praise the Lord. We'll baptize you. And then I explain to them what it's all about. Now let me explain myself before I get into deep trouble. This church is not another church. Did you know that? We're not like the Baptist, not like the Methodist, not like the Lutherans. I tell the people, I say, listen, the name is for a purpose, Seventh-day Adventists. When you're baptized and you go into that water, you become a member of the church of God in heaven, and your name is put down on this little book here for a purpose. Why? Because you may travel to Africa, you may travel to New York or California, and you may want to find people who believe the way you do, and all you got to do is look in the yellow pages. And then you can find fellow believers. Amen? And they say, boy, that sounds good. That's what I want. That sounds better. Because there's some kind of hang-up that people have that when they're baptized, they think, well, I've got to sign my name here. And when they sign their name, they feel like they're signing everything over. I thank the Lord the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not like the Mormon Church. When you become a member, you don't sign everything over. Amen? You give as you are able. Now, the offering plate is passed around an awful lot, but you give as you are able. We don't ask you to sign everything over. Another church. No, it's not another church. The Seventh-day Adventist movement is the continuation of the Reformation. John Earnhardt, when I became a Seventh-day Adventist, I just picked up where Martin Luther left off. Praise the Lord. And John Wesley and Huss and Jerome and those great men of God. Friends, we are reformers in these last days who carry forward this last message to the world. We're not just another church. Do not tell people that we belong, or you say, hey, I belong to the church down the street. It's kind of like the Baptist and Methodist. We just go to church on Saturday. No way, friends. We are not another church. We are the continuation of the Reformation. God is going to have a people that will have dedicated everything to Him, a people who love God more than themselves. That's what God wants in these last days. The battle in these last days is for real. The battle is over truth. God's truths in His Word have been tampered with. Did you know that? Now, we could go back and we could talk about the Sabbath being changed or attempted to change it. We could talk about all those doctrines, the immortality of the soul and eternal hell fire, but I'm talking about in this day and age, God's Word has been tampered with. Men are rising in the church saying that the Sabbath is not all that important. Men are rising in the church who say the sanctuary message is not for today. Men are rising in the church who say the 2300-day prophecy is not what we used to teach. It's not what we're supposed to be preaching. Men are rising in the church saying, hey, it doesn't matter how you take care of your bodies. Just as long as you love Jesus. People are rising in the church. Yes, my dear friends, God's truth has been tampered with in this day and age. And I say it's a setup to deceive and destroy God's people. What is it that Seventh-day Adventists, or I should say a lot of Seventh-day Adventists, why is it that we are not proclaiming the truth? And I'll say it again, it could be that we have not accepted, received the message, the truth of God's Word in our own lives. And that comes because we have not studied it for ourselves. Attended an evangelistic meeting. You've had Bible studies. A loved one is a member of the church. Your parents are Seventh-day Adventists because, and then so you've been brought up in the Seventh-day Adventist church, so you're a Seventh-day Adventist. That's not good enough, brothers and sisters. If you have been brought in through an evangelistic meeting, through Bible studies, because of parents, it is your duty to study it for yourself. And I'll tell you, friends, if you study it for yourself, it'll sink deep into the heart and mind. And you'll have something that's real, and I don't care who comes along. I don't care what his name is. Chevrolet, Ford, or Mercury, no matter what his name is. He cannot move you. Because you're settled in the Word of God. From my study and visiting with people who have left the Seventh-day Adventist Church and followed people, I have found that they are people who are not grounded on the Word of God. They are people who are looking for a way out. You study it and put it in the heart and mind, you cannot be shaken. No way. God is looking for a people who will stand up and be counted for. A people who will tell the truth about the papacy. A people who will tell the truth about the Sabbath. A people who will tell the truth about our bodies. Tell the people that alcohol drinking is a sin. It's not a disease. Tell the people that cigarette smoking is a sin. It's not a disease. I read a little article recently about alcohol and how it's going on to say that alcohol is not a disease. If it is, it's the only disease that is funded by the U.S. government. Or the only disease that you will take to heaven, you know, that you cannot go to heaven for. The Lord can cleanse us of all things. He wants a reforming people, a reformation of people who have had a change of heart, of people who have preached against pornography, against unclean TV shows. God wants a people, amen? I received a magazine through the mail, the NFD, Network for Decency, I believe is the title. How many of you have ever read that magazine? Some of you? Tremendous articles. Brings out what the TV shows are showing today. Brings out the different stores and businesses that sponsor certain TV shows. Tells about the certain stores that are pushing pornography in the stores. And how we should be standing up against such things. And by the way, 7-Eleven is one of the stores that pushes pornography more than just about any of the others. What happens when we buy things from them? Don't you think we're sponsoring them just a little? And I'm not going to get into that issue because there's many other stores besides 7-Eleven. But we ought to stand up for that which is right and be counted for. Be counted for. God is looking for men and women who will stand up and say and call sin by its right name. And at the same time be a loving people and have that kindness and love that Jesus would have. Do you know how the cosmic conflict is going to close? Do you? Let me share it with you from the book Great Controversy. Right here in Great Controversy, it tells us what will happen in the close of the Great Controversy. Found on page 612. Beautiful what it says here. The closing of the Great Controversy. The closing of, right before probation closes, actually. It says, servants of God with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow the believers. Satan also works with lying wonders, even bringing down fire from heaven in the sight of men. Thus the inhabitants of the earth will be brought to take their stand. Did you hear that? Satan works miracles, but God's people will be working miracles side by side, and the people, the inhabitants of the earth, will be brought to take their stand. I believe what Great Controversy says. I believe that God's people who are filled with the Holy Ghost are going forward, and miracles will be performed. The sick will be healed. Miracle after miracle. Somebody says, well, John, I haven't seen them performed here lately. Do we still have miracles in the last days? We could probably all stand up today and tell of experiences of people who've been healed of this and that. I think back of my little churches in Carolina that I'm pastoring at the present time. A little church in Concord and one in Albemarle, North Carolina. And in Concord alone, not because of what I'm doing, but because of people in my church who God has blessed with the power of healing through prayer. We have witnessed over 5 or 6 people who have been healed, and the doctors gave them up. I think about a brother Warren, dying of cancer, healed. One of my head deacons in the church, takes up the offering every Sabbath, praises the Lord, God healed him. I think about Sister Strickland, went to the hospital, had cancer. They opened her up, said, sorry, we cannot do anything for you, sewed her back up, sent her home. They gave her a few months to live. She got on a special diet, praying, fasting, eating correctly, drinking a lot of grape juice, pure grape juice, goat's milk. Now, wait a minute, we don't drink milk. The Lord hadn't let me have a glass of milk all weekend. But did you know I found in the Bible that it speaks about goat's milk all the time, but it never says anything about cow's milk? So she got to drinking goat's milk. Now, I'm not sure what it is in goat's milk, but she started drinking goat's milk and praying. And the Lord healed her completely. No cancer at all. She went back to the doctors. The doctors can't believe it. It's a miracle. I think about Brother St. Just. He's a white African, member of our church. Went to the hospital, had a lump on the side of his face and on his neck. They removed the lump, took it to the laboratory to have it examined to check to see if it was cancer. Sure enough, it was malignant cancer. They brought it back. They told him, it's cancer. It's more than likely spread all through your body. I was at the hospital at the time. I said, wait a minute. We've been praying. We've been fasting. The church has been praying all night. It cannot be cancer. Send it back. They sent it back, checked it, came back. Brother, it's cancer. We said, no way. We believe that God has worked a miracle. We want you to send it back again. The doctor looked at us, kind of smiled. Well, he had to take orders, you know. God's people. Sent it back, came back the third time and said, it's unbelievable, it's not cancer. It's amazing how the Lord can heal the neck and take that little lump and heal it. Amen? God is working miracles. Brother Gladden, I'm giving you these names because you may want to come down to my church and just question some of these. We'd like to have you next Sabbath, okay? Brother Gladden had a heart attack. They took him to the hospital. I was called at about 11:30, 12 o'clock. So they asked me to come to the hospital. I went to the hospital, pray with him, visit with his wife. She was in tears. Had a terrible heart attack. We called the church members. They started praying. They prayed all night. The next morning, the doctors came in and said, this man is going to have a massive heart attack any moment. We must rush him to another hospital. They put him in the ambulance. I prayed beside the ambulance. The members were praying. They rushed him over to the Charlotte hospital. He was on the verge of a massive heart attack. They started checking him and examining him. And they said, any time now. You talk about his wife upset. We told her, pray. Pray hard. Pray hard. We continued to pray all day. For some reason, he wasn't having the heart attack. They took him in the next morning, had him examined, had his heart checked. He was cleared completely. There had been no sign of a heart attack at all. He went back home the next day. He's back to work. Amen? The head elder of my church. Brothers and sisters, I believe it's time for these things. Amen? I believe that God is ready to work miracles with a God-fearing people, of people who love Him with all their hearts. That's too unbelievable. We want them to believe what I say, Floyd. We are told by the Lord if we want to see great things happen, we must what? Attempt great things for the Lord. Friends, we are living in the cosmic conflict. The battle is for real. We are to proclaim a unique message, God's message for the last days. But with every message that we proclaim, every time we witness to people, Jesus Christ must be the center of every message. And His shed blood. And read another quote to you from the book Perfection. I'm going to have everyone ordering this book before the weekend's over, Floyd. Page 12. This is what it says. The sacrifice of Christ as an atonement for sin is the great truth around which all other truths cluster. I present before you the great grand monument of mercy and regeneration, salvation and redemption, the Son of God uplifted on the cross. This is to be the foundation of every discourse given by our ministers. Amen? Preach Jesus Christ and His shed blood. People can fuss with you and disagree with you on all the doctrines but one. They can tell you you're wrong about the mark of the beast. They can tell you you're wrong about the Sabbath. They can tell you you're wrong about the second coming. And they may even be able to show you a few Bible texts. But the one they cannot go against is your personal testimony for Jesus Christ. I've been in homes and people have wanted to disagree with me on Bible verses. And I mean, they want to get into an argument. And I'd see what was happening and be led by the Holy Spirit, begin to tell them my personal testimony. And I'd watch tears come to their eyes as they realized it was for real. Yes, brothers and sisters, witness. God's people will be so in love with Jesus, they cannot help but talk about Him. What do we talk about when we witness? I want to bring this home tonight, today. What do we talk about? Do we tell people, do we say to people, hey, listen, I want to tell you about the mark of the beast. I want to tell you about this and about that. Do we tell them about these things that are so hard to believe? Do we preach to them the Ten Commandments and do we tell them, even Seventh-day Adventists who are new Christians, do we say, listen, you need to take that jewelry off. You need to stop drinking milk and eating eggs. And, you know, sometimes they're not even off of meat. We're trying to get them off of milk and eggs. I've seen that happen before. Got to be careful. Got to be careful how we proclaim God's truth. But I want to read a quote to you here. Signs of the Times, July 1, 1889. And I believe we should preach the truth, those things that need to be heard, brothers and sisters. But I believe this will do more than me condemning people for what they are doing. Listen to it. There are many who try to correct the life of others by attacking what they consider are wrong. Wrong habits. They go to those to whom they think are in error and point out their defects. They say you don't dress as you should. They try to pick off the ornaments or whatever seems offensive, but they do not seek to fasten the mind to the truth. Those who seek to correct others should present the attractions of Jesus. They should talk of His love and compassion, present His example and sacrifice, reveal His Spirit, and they need not touch the subject of dress at all. Let me go on. There is no need to make the dress question a main point of your religion. There is something richer to speak of. Talk of Christ, and when the heart is converted, everything that is out of harmony with the Word of God will drop off. It is only, listen to this, it is only labor in vain to pick leaves off a living tree because they come back. The leaves will reappear, it says. The axe must be laid at the root of the tree, and then the leaves will fall off, never to return. 1889, July 1, Signs of the Times, is another one. In order to teach men and women the worthlessness of earthly things, you must lead them to the living fountain and get them to drink of Christ until their hearts are filled with the love of God and Christ is in them, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Evangelism, page 272. Brothers and sisters, I believe in preaching Jesus. Amen. I believe in preaching all our other beautiful doctrines that we have. As we see the cosmic conflict coming to a close, whose side will you be on? God's or the Antichrist? No such thing as an in-between in these last days. No such thing. And it's going to come to the place very, very soon when you are following Mr. 666 or Jesus Christ. And that's why we need to be in the Word, studying and praying. And as the Spirit of Prophecy says, if we would only spend an hour a day contemplating the sacrifice of Jesus, it would change the life. Remember this, so closely will the counterfeit resemble the true that it will be impossible to distinguish between them except by God's holy word. I'm going to close by reading a quote to you from this book, Perfection. I've written beside of it, beautiful, in my book. The spotless Son of God hung upon the cross, His flesh lacerated with stripes. Those hands so often reached out in blessing, nailed to the wooden bars. Those feet so tireless on ministries of love, spiked to the tree. That royal head pierced by the crown of thorns. Those quivering lips shaped to the cry of woe. And all that He endured speaks to each child of humanity, declaring, it is for thee that the Son of God consents to bear this burden of guilt. For thee He spoils the domain of death and opens the gates of paradise. He offers Himself upon the cross as a sacrifice, and this from love to thee. He, the sin-bearer, endures the wrath of divine justice and for thy sake becomes sin itself. Desire of Ages 755 and 756. But it was not the spear thrust. It was not the pain of the cross that caused the death of Jesus. That cry at the moment of death, the stream of blood and water that flowed from His side, declared that He died of a broken heart. His heart was broken by mental anguish. He was slain by the sin of the world. Brothers and sisters, He died for me and He died for you. What does Jesus mean to you today? If we're one of God's people, if we're in this battle for real, cosmic conflict, and we are, we're going to put Jesus first, amen? In everything we do. Everything. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that we can be living in such a day as this. The excitement that we see happening around us. The wars, the rumors of wars. Signs all being fulfilled before our very eyes. The Antichrist out to deceive the whole world. But Father, in the midst of all of this, You have a people. A people who love You with all their hearts. A people who are making preparation for Thy soon coming. Father,
We need a clean heart, a new heart. Father, we want to come to the cross just now and settle it once and for all that Jesus is not only our Savior, but also our Lord. So Father, today, come near to us. Convict and convert us. And make us ready. Because we ask it and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.